Good morning, church. This morning's scripture reading is going to come from the book of Ephesians. Be Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie to wait in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here. I was mentioning to someone that I'd had some of the ailments that are going around this time of year, seasonal whatever, or allergies, or I don't know what it is, but I believe we're all participating in some of that, and I found myself complaining a bit, and then I caught myself and said, well, at least I'm vertical. So we're here, and I'm glad that each and every one of you are able to be here as we worship God together. And if you're visiting, a special thank you. We're glad you came our way. If you haven't already taken the liberty of doing it, please fill out one of the yellow visitor cards where we can have a record of your attendance and where we can also know that we've given you an opportunity to make any request or need you had known. There you can let us know if you're interested in a Bible study or had a question about the Bible or the service today, or maybe be interested in a correspondence course where we'll mail you the course and you can fill it out and return it, and we'll grade it and send it back with a self-addressed stamped envelope, and you can correspond with us and study at your own leisure. Whatever you might need, any way we can help you, we want to do that. This morning we're going to start a new series of lessons. We're going to talk about growth. Specifically, I want us to center our thoughts around church growth. And when I talk about that, what we're talking about is growing the body of Christ. Now, I don't know what thoughts come to your mind when I mention growing the church. Now, you might solely think about having more numbers, seeing a different number or a growing number. Maybe you think about our plans for the building expansion and some of the things that are going on in our community relative to the construction across the street, or maybe think about numbers. But there's a whole lot to the idea of the church growing or the body growing. And the lesson this morning, I want to be somewhat introductory. I want to introduce the subject, and then I want to talk about some more specifics over the next couple of weeks. But how? How do you grow the church? How do you grow the body of Christ? How do you grow a local congregation? Well, I'm going to mention a few things. First, I think you need to focus on individual edification. How do you grow the body of Christ? Well, you grow it through growing individuals. You know, we're told to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. With this individual idea that we can be built up and grow and mature. We can become, like the Bible describes, a babe in Christ. And we can have the milk of the Word. And we can grow like a baby grows. If you've had a child, you know there's those gradual processes. I was thinking about Ruby just this morning, little Ruby. She's running around now. Seems like she was being held in somebody's arms just a couple of days ago. And so there's this gradual graduation process. And so that's true of the Christian life. That's true of our spiritual life. And so if the church is going to grow, that means individuals are going to grow and be built up and edified. How's that done? Well, it's done a number of ways. It's done through preaching. Paul told Timothy to go and preach the word. We just read that section in Ephesians. If you were listening to the reading there in Ephesians chapter 4, it's talking about the various offices of the church. Why do you have a preacher? Why do you have a located minister? Why do you have elders? Why are there these offices in the church? That there might be this growth. That we might be knit together. That we might be built up together. That we might be able to be strong. So that when the cunning, crafty deceitfulness of men and the strange doctrines come in, we won't be tossed to and fro, because we've got preaching. Good, sound, solid Bible preaching. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. What did Paul do? Well, they took the Lord's Supper like we did. They had a collection, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, like we'll do. Observe the Lord's Supper. They had prayer. And then they had a message from God's Word. Why? individual edification. Not so they could give a located fellow a job. No, it was for edification of the church. And so why? Preaching. That's one of the ways that we have individual edification. Teaching. You say, well, are those different? Yeah, sure they are. Sure they are. I believe, and you know, some people might think I think the opposite. I believe a lot of the teaching that goes on in these classrooms back here, where our teachers get very little praise, is far more important than what I do week in and week out. I think that way because I have two little souls that are going into those rooms. I have two little children that I don't always have the time to teach Bible lessons. I try, but I got to keep them fed and clothed and bathed and to school and their homework done and their clothes washed and groceries bought and meals cooked. And so I don't always have time. So some of the most important things that go on in the edification of souls in this church is in little classrooms. And some of you teachers might think, well, I only teach two or three students and I don't know how much they're even listening. They're just running up and down the walls. And I think, I'm sorry, you know, I'm doing the best I can with you. Some of y'all will catch that in a minute. But I know that what y'all are doing is so very vital. And maybe that's teaching in a formal sense. Maybe that's teaching in a sense like we'll talk about in just a moment. And these somewhat meld together and mesh together. Mentoring. You know, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go into all the world and teach the gospel. And we're supposed to make disciples. And here in Matthew chapter 28, it talks about making disciples. How do you do that? Well, you teach them the gospel. That's Mark 16, 15, and 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, we're told. And you go teach them. And they're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then what do you do after that? You keep teaching them. You teach them to observe these things. The verse before in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Paul told Timothy, go find faithful men who you can teach these things so they can go teach these things. And it would be generational. And it happened. Timothy taught somebody and he taught somebody. And then that somebody taught somebody and you go way on down the line and at some point, somebody sat down and taught you. Somebody sat down and taught you. That's been going on a long time. We read the scriptures are given by God, by inspiration, and that they're profitable for doctrine, for proof, for instruction in righteousness. All that's teaching. Teaching. Mentoring becomes more, sometimes you hear this word, discipling or discipleship. I don't know. I don't use the word myself. I think of this more of mentoring. There's a lot of teaching that goes on that's not formal. There's a lot of teaching that goes on from older, more mature Christians who are able to teach younger Christians. Like we see in Scripture where Titus is told the older women are to teach the younger women. This is mentoring. This isn't a formal setting necessarily. So how are individuals in the church edified? Well, through preaching, through formal teaching and informal teaching and mentoring and helping. You know, we have this responsibility for the weak. Remember, we're to take those that are weak and bolster them up. And so here we have this individual edification that helps the church grow. But you know, I mentioned, I believe it was in last week's lesson. You'll forgive me if I don't remember. But don't you remember recently I told you one of the things that you can't do is let anybody else do your homework? It was in that lesson we had about trust, if you were here Sunday night. I said, you know, don't trust anybody to do your homework. Does anybody remember that? All right, I'm the only one listening to my preaching. And I don't always remember everything. No, don't let anybody else do your homework. We have the responsibility to show ourselves approved. A workman who needs not be ashamed but can rightly divide the word of truth. Someone who opens the scriptures, searches them, sees that these things are so and studies. There is no substitute for personal study. No matter how good the sermon is, no matter how qualified and well the classrooms are run, no matter how well the mentoring process is, and you got stronger Christians helping weaker Christians, if you're not burning the midnight oil, if you're not staying up and turning the TV off and studying the Bible, you're not going to grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so it still works. Your faith still increases. You still grow. That's you. I can't do that for you. The elders can't do that for you. Your spouse can't do that for you. If the church is going to grow, and we have to understand and appreciate that the Lord wants it to grow, we're going to have this individual edification, and you're going to have to play part in that. All right, so how does the church grow? Well, through individual edification, but also through collective fellowship. Collective fellowship. Let's talk about that. Well, obviously, I want to go here first and look at this verse. You know it, but let's read it anyhow. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. That should be Hebrews chapter 10. Good night. Study to show myself approved with a secretary who needs not be ashamed. Some of you caught that joke. It's Hebrews chapter 10. I will blame the cold medicine for me putting this PowerPoint together, but it's Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is it that we come to do collectively here today? Oh, yes, we come to worship the Lord. Yes, we come to partake in the acts of worship that we mentioned, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, and Acts 20 and verse 7, and have a lesson from God's Word and gather around the Lord's table in fellowship there. But we also come together to consider one another. We also come together to stir up love and good works. We also come together to exhort one another. This process is not something that is done without each other. And so through the process of worship and through the process of being here together, we're able to grow. We also see through a common meal. Common meals were, well, common for the church in the first century. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they were gathered for a meal. Now, they were corrected for the fact that they were mixing. What we do is taking the Lord's Supper with their common meal. And they were doing all sorts of things that were unloving of each other. Some were not eating and some were overeating and overindulging. And they had all sorts of problems. But they were coming together for a meal. Done very common. Jude speaks of that. Love feasts and the sorts. Plus a lot of literature that's written relative to the Christianity in the first century. Mind you, it's not the Bible, but it is historical. And there was a lot of coming together for common meals. Also, there's hospitality. You say, what's the difference? Well, hospitality means going to each other's house. Not coming together collectively for a meal, but going to individuals' homes. Happened a lot. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, they went house to house. Romans chapter 15, I just love how this verse sounds. Here Paul talks about the church at Rome, and he basically says, I want to enjoy your company for a while. Here we're told on several occasions in the New Testament that we as Christians ought to be given to hospitality. We ought to be given to entertaining. And here's this idea that we grow. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about church growth. And that's done individually, but it's also done collectively. Whether we come together for a meal, or we're hospitable toward each other, or we have a common meal, or we come together through the corporate worship that we do as it's been prescribed. Also, specific occasions. There are specific occasions in which we can come together and enjoy each other's company, fellowship, get to know each other, talk, know more about somebody than what kind of clothes they wear on Sunday and what side of the building they sit on, knowing about them. And there are all sorts of efforts that are made to do this. We have a monthly game night. Each month we come together, we play games over in the fellowship building and have some food, some snacks, those sort of things. We have several things that are geared towards this. I mentioned one last week. If you remember, we talked about the upcoming family retreat on May the 12th and the 13th. I want you to mark your calendars. If you don't have a bulletin, I encourage you to get one. I don't make these just for the fun of it. I don't get paid any extra to make them. I make them because I think it's beneficial for us to know what's going on and be abreast of everything. And one of the things I have on the back are some of the upcoming events. And some of these are geared towards fellowship. Some of them are geared towards what we'll talk about next in the next couple of slides. But there are all sorts of efforts that are made. And again, maybe there are other specific occasions or specific instances that you want to suggest. Meet with Brother Eric. Brother Eric's our deacon who kind of is over this sort of thing. And maybe there's some events that you'd like to mention. And I haven't mentioned all of them. I'm just touching this in passing. But I'm asking you this question. Are you participating in that? Are you taking advantage of the opportunities we have collective fellowship? Well, no, all I have to do is come on Sunday morning. Okay, is that ringing a bell for anybody? Everybody's looking at me like, huh? Did we not read over there in Ephesians chapter 4 just a moment ago, in which each part does its share to cause growth to the body? Either you believe this is part of church growth or you don't. And I do. I believe that not only the individual growth is imperative, but so too is the collective fellowship imperative to church growth. And if the Lord wants the church to grow, we each do our part. And, you know, maybe the game night's not for you, or maybe you can't make the men's retreat, or maybe you can't make the women's retreat, or maybe you can't make the family retreat. Well, find something. Find some occasion through either hospitality or participating in the common meals that we have periodically, or the other events where we might get to know each other. Do something. Be part of that growth, because I believe this is vital. All right, next we think about the church growing, not only through individual growth and collective fellowship, but through an in-reach effort, reaching in. All right, let's talk about that ever so briefly. Now, I mentioned this, alluded to this, but let's look over in 1 Thessalonians just a moment. If you have your Bible, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Read with me verse 14 there. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Now, what's that? That's teaching, preaching, mentoring. Warn those who are unruly, we're told. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak. Does that sound like a Bible lesson? Now, that sounds more like come over to my house when I'm hurting, when I've lost a loved one, when I'm grief, when I'm sick, when I'm hurt, when I'm heartbroken. It means caring for those who are weak, those who are faint-hearted. That means they're about to give up and quit. You ever known anybody that was just one or two more bad things in their life from happening, from quitting the church? I have. I've gone and visited them. I've had people say, I'm glad you came and visited me. I'm thinking about quitting the church. Now, there are people that we rub shoulders with that feel like nobody cares for them. And you say, well, they oughtn't feel that way. They ought to love the Lord enough to want to come to church. And how's me going to visit them going to do any good if they don't love the Lord enough to go to church? Well, they're weak. That's the point. They're weak. They're faint-hearted. They want to quit. They need encouragement. They need somebody to care. They need somebody to reach. These are people that are already sheep. These are the one from the 99 who's wandered off from their hurt and heartache and life. Care for those that are weak. Restoring the erring. Go over to Galatians chapter 6, you know, verse 1. Those who are overtaken in a trespass or sin, you who are spiritual, are to go and restore that one. Go find that lost sheep. Go over there and confront them. Be willing to say, we've missed you at church. We've missed you at the fellowship meals. We haven't seen you around in a while. What's going on in your life? Maybe it's something that's very public. Maybe it's a public departure from the church. Maybe it's some known sin. Maybe it's just the sin of apathy and the sin of forsaking the assembly. I don't know. But we go and we care enough to reach in for those sheep that are hurting or struggling or left the fold. Just general visiting. You know, pure and undefiled religion, we're told, is to keep yourself unspotted from the world and to visit. Visit the needy. Visit those who have need. We also see that Jesus talked about this. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 43, he talked about going to visit someone who is in need, someone who is sick, someone who is in prison. And he said, when you did this to the least of these people, you did it to me. So visiting, that's a way we reach in. And again, Ron, another deacon who's involved in this in-reach effort and visiting and so forth, working on visiting teams and those sort of things. Get with Ron if you have ideas or concerns or want to participate or help. We in-reach by bearing burdens. Again, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, hey, if somebody's lost, go talk to him. He says, if somebody's got a burden, you bear it and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I've mentioned this before, and this is so oversimplified, but you'll never be able to bear a burden you don't know. And very rarely will somebody unload their burden in their Sunday best on a Sunday morning, but they will over a cup of coffee or in a living room or some other occasion when you go over to visit or ask about them or inquire of them in some sort of personal setting, not just the time we come together for worship. So how do we grow the church? Well, your individual growth, but also our collective fellowship, and also through caring enough to reach in and help those that are hurting. Also, part of that is admonishing each other. Here's this thing that we probably don't do like we ought to. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews for just a moment. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. You know why we don't admonish other people? You want to know why? We don't admonish other people because we don't want nobody admonishing us. Is this thing on? That's the truth. You know, my life's got problems too, so how am I going to go to brother so-and-so and say, you know, hey man, I just want to come over to your house and tell you, you know, this thing you've been doing or this thing you haven't been doing or what's going on here. I just wanted to confront you about that. I love you, brother. Oh, good. While you're here, let me tell you some things you're doing. I'd like to confront you too. And so we all look at our life and say, well, I'm not perfect, so how can I go tell anybody else they're not perfect? Well, we ought to be close enough and love each other enough that if I'm not perfect, I want you to point it out. I don't mean just criticize me for the sake of criticizing me. But if there's some sin in my life that you know about, please point it out. You know, not everybody at once. Don't pile on me or nothing. You know, do it in love. Do it in kindness. But here's this process that is vital. It's vital to my spiritual well-being and yours that we be able to do this. If you guys don't tell me and come to me and say, you got this sin in your life, and I love you enough to say, if you guys in this room don't do it, who's going to do it in my life? My family aren't members of the church. They aren't going to do it. They could care less. My neighbors, they don't know me very well. I mean, we're friends. I know their names. We talk when we take our trash out. But they're not going to do that for me. Sure, the elders bear a responsibility in that. But there's only five of them, and there's 200 and something people here. Y'all following me? All right, so let's look at Hebrews chapter 3. Look at verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. That part of this verse has always bothered me. You know, I believe that we ought to follow the pattern of the New Testament. According to the New Testament, we ought to have some type of daily interaction. Now, I know it's not possible for every one of us to have daily interaction, but we ought to have some sort of interaction that's not just once a week. And that's why we have various events and efforts to get together. But exhort one another daily, why it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For if we have become partakers of Christ, here's the big word. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. In other words, if we finish the race. Nobody gets the prize for stopping halfway. And he said, you need to admonish your brother who's stumbling and falling halfway. How many of you have seen a video on YouTube or on Facebook that shows something, and there's dozens of them, that shows somebody running a race and they start to fall and then somebody picks them up to help them? I even saw a commercial. I forget what the commercial was for, Powerade or something, I don't know. But it was showing all these people, were showing good sportsmanship. Somebody's going to the race and they start getting hobbled, you know, and people start coming help them in the race. And everybody just kind of touches you, you know, you get goosebumps. Oh, look at that, isn't that sweet? Well, in a spiritual sense, why aren't we doing that? You got brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They quit coming. They've had this hardship and that thing going on in their life. And they're stumbling. They're about to fall in the race. And we're supposed to pick them up and help them. We're supposed to admonish them. We're supposed to say, hey, you need to get up and get dressed and come on. You know, but it's nice when we see a commercial for Nike. But what about spiritually speaking? Are we admonishing one another? And get over that fact that you think you've got to be perfect to admonish somebody and tell them, hey, you need to man up or put on your big girl britches and come on. Whatever you have to do. And that's in reach. And we don't always do a good job of that. But that's a challenge for us if we want to grow. You say, oh, if we want to grow, we just build a bigger building and get a good preacher. Well, good luck on getting a good preacher. Y'all stuck with me. But, you know, there's a lot more to church growth than just, you know, having a nice building to be in. And we've got to care about each other if we're going to grow. And then the last component of this, how is the church going to grow? And again, this is kind of introductory for some other thoughts we're going to have over the next few weeks. How does the church grow? Well, through individual edification and growth, through collective fellowship, through inreach, and obviously through outreach. And some of you have been sitting there the whole time and you've been saying, the only way the church grows is if we go out and do evangelism. No, that's not the only way the church grows, but that is a humongous part of church growth. Now, outreach. You know when outreach begins? Outreach begins when somebody visits you. And we got visitors here this morning. I don't know how we've made you feel. I don't know what kind of grade you'd give us, but I hope before you leave we get an A. You know, we want to greet you. We try to remember your name. Not all of us are as good at it as others, but 3 John verse 14 says, greet one another and greet the guests by their name. And so we have this opportunity to, when they visit, to reach out to them. We try and give you a welcome package. We try and follow up with you. We encourage you to fill out a visitor card so we can give you a call and say, is there anything we can help you with? Was there any questions you had about the church? We reach out to people when they visit. We reach out by our reputation. We have a reputation. I don't know if you guys do this. I assume you do. I tell people where I attend worship all the time. All the time. And I say, oh yeah, that's the place that had the such and such. Or that's the place that had the Dave Ramsey. Or that's the place where y'all got, y'all, I thought y'all were a Spanish church because we had the Spanish sign out there. Or, oh yeah, y'all the ones that did. We have a reputation. You know, it may be benign or indifferent or good or bad, but we have a reputation. We let our light shine that we glorify God or we don't. So we reach out through our reputation. We reach out through special events. I mentioned Dave Ramsey. Now, Dave Ramsey is an opportunity for everybody here in the church to be able to receive some basic instruction of personal finance. Things they don't teach you in school. There's some things they ought to teach you in school. Maybe they do now, but they didn't teach me in school. And so these are biblical foundations and principles for managing your money and budgeting and saving for the future and giving. And so we offer that as a service to our members, but we reach out to the community, and it's about, I guess it's probably about 50-50. And I've gone to them before, and we've had Bible studies. We've had Bible studies of people that came just for Dave Ramsey. We've had people come and attend services of church just because they came to Dave Ramsey. There's people that know us in the community for that. There's VBS coming up, and again, I want to encourage you, look on the back here, got all the dates. VBS coming up in June, mark your calendar. Friends and Family Day. We got a Friends and Family Day on September the 10th. I know it's a ways off. You're thinking, wow, okay, but still, that's something you ought to be thinking about. We have this workshop that's coming up. There are flyers in the back. And it's a workshop for people who are ministering to friends, loved ones, family members who have dementia and Alzheimer's, or those that are struggling with that in their own family. And that's a service we offer. And it's a biblical service. I know the man that's presenting it, he's going to present it in a biblical fashion. He's going to engage the people that are there and give them information to help them. And he's pretty much, forgive the term, he's an expert in this. And so that's something that we offer to our members here and to the community. And it's a way in which we're reaching out to them. Now, ultimately, we want to reach out to them with the gospel. But we have these special events that we advertise. We might advertise them through a flyer. We might use our website. Our website's an outreach. Did y'all know that? All my sermons are on there. Do you know how often I direct somebody to the website? I'll be in a conversation at Walmart. We'll be talking about who knows what. And I say, you know, I'm a preacher, or maybe that's already come up in conversation. I say, I preached a whole sermon on that. And you can, I'll give them my card. So you can just go to this website and you can listen to the sermon in your underwear. They laugh just like you did. And I hope they go home listen to the sermon. Our website isn't out. How often do you use our website to reach out to somebody? People will go on their phone and they'll Google it. They'll look it up right there. If it's a resource, I'm asking you, do you use it as outreach? And we have a sign out there. That's just one way we advertise. We don't do a lot of necessary advertising. You know what I think the best advertisement for the church here is? And the events and things going on and you. How are you doing promoting what we have coming up? And that's something for you to think about. What are we talking about? Talking about church growth. And not only my role or the elders' role, but everybody's role. You have a role in advertising these events. You have a role in advertising our Friends and Family Day or even a service of the church. I mean, do you go and say, well, yeah, we come into work Monday. How was your weekend? I was okay. What'd you do? Huh? You know, just went to church. Hello, watch a ball game. I mean, who's going to say, well, boy, I want to come to your church? And, no. I mean, here's this opportunity that you have to advertise even the worship service to your friends and family. I mean, when's the last, okay, this is for you. Don't raise your hand or holler out. When's the last time you invited somebody to the service of the church? Just think about it. When's the last time you invited somebody? Are you doing that on a weekly basis? Are you thinking of opportunities to do that daily? I mean, we're talking about church growth here. I mean, it's not just preach a good sermon and the church is going to blow up. It doesn't work like that. And then ultimately, and you say, man, you haven't spent much time at all talking about evangelism. You're right, because I got a whole sermon for that. See, as we go through this, we're talking about some basics, but the biggest way we outreach, I believe, is through benevolence and the gospel. And I'll talk about those two individually, and I'll talk about growing the church through benevolence next week. That's my plan. And then obviously I'll talk about growing the church through the gospel. What is the gospel? It's simple. It's simple. God loves you. And God loves you so much, he wants to spend eternity with you. And so, he knew there was no way that you could be sinless. And that's what you got to be to spend eternity with God. And so he said, I'll send my son to die, to shed his life blood as an atonement for the sins of mankind, for those who will receive it in faith. And for those who will in faith confess that Jesus is their Messiah and the Son of God and the one who will wash away my sins. And in that same faith, they're buried with him in water, baptism, immersion. And the Bible tells us at that point in time, through their faith and the working of God, their sins are washed away and they're added to the saved. And they've obeyed the gospel. And that's the gospel message that we share. And that's the gospel message that I share with you this morning if you're subject to the invitation. And I hope that you'll think about this lesson this week, and maybe even go back and listen to it on the website, and stick with us and plan on being here for each of these services in this series. So if you're subject to the invitation this morning, maybe you need to obey the gospel for the first time, or maybe you have some other sort of spiritual need or sin that needs to be confessed or prayers that need to be requested, I encourage you to do that while we stand and sing together.